Blog Talk Radio.
You're now listening to
Hot Takes
with
Bernola and Eric.
Hi, welcome to another edition of Hot Takes. I am Eric Nifong. You can find me on Twitter at @E_Nifong. And I'm joined by, as always, Nolan Haig. You can find him on Twitter at NJH09. And we come to you tonight on a Wednesday night because not all, or not some, but all of the furniture is being moved. And, how's your new place going?
Everything is over there, but, we're not completely set up and moved in yet. I don't have internet, so therefore I can't do the show without internet. Everything is moved in, got that all finished up today, and, it is exhausting and very hot outside.
Yes, it is. It is, very hot. I'm definitely glad that last night was my last Cardinals game for the week for the next 8 days because it's getting hot and wasn't liking that very much. But I'm pretty excited to come down and see your new place and stuff. So should be pretty good.
Yeah, no, can't wait. It's gonna be a good time.
Oh yeah. So, but I guess we should talk a little sports here. We had some hot picks from last week. It feels like it's been forever. We had our first pick here. We went and had a couple baseball games. We had the Red Sox and the Giants. That was last Wednesday, June 8th. It was David Price versus Madison Bumgarner. You took the Red Sox. I took the Giants. Giants actually pulled out a very close 2-1 victory. They got their two runs in the last few innings, and Mad Bum got a no decision price with the loss. But David Price was really good in his loss. So both teams are sitting in first place right now. I think Red Sox are tied with the Orioles after winning tonight. So, both teams are doing really good so far this year.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, it was really a pitcher's duel through six innings. I mean, you just had one solo shot given up by each pitcher, and then, Bumgarner ended up leaving after six, but, yeah, Price kept going and was doing fine until he gave up the lead. But, just unfortunately those are the breaks sometimes. And, the end of the game, 2-1. And, the Giants are actually looking really good. Johnny Cueto actually, I think, got another victory tonight, making him 10-1. So that turned out to be a very smart signing by them. I believed it was when I was surprised nobody jumped on him sooner in free agency. A National League team anyway. But it's turned out pretty well for them so far.
Yeah, definitely. And it's really good if you can throw out Bumgarner and Cueto. If they can get Kane to come back to some type of form that he used to be, they're going to be very tough in the postseason, and it is an even year. So it's supposed to be the Giants' year, and they are not letting their fans down so far through this early part of the season, as we're almost halfway done, believe it or not. So
It's kind of flying by.
It really is. But
all right,
yeah,
I guess we'll go to that
game.
Other game.
Yeah.
The infamous
National
James Shields debut.
Yep. National White Sox Shields debut. We both went Nationals here. Good decision. Nationals went on to win 11-4. I believe Shields allowed 7 in his first start with Chicago. Allowed 6 the other night. Has been pretty bad through his first couple starts with Chicago, not what they were hoping for when they acquired him. So Chicago's really fallen back here after leading the AL Central for so many weeks. And they've really come back down to earth, and they need to figure something out quick, or it's gonna get away from them, because I don't think Cleveland and or Kansas City are going anywhere, and Detroit's always a wild card right there. So Chicago needs to figure something out right now.
No, yeah, and I mean it's not like they gave up a ton for James Shields, but if he's gonna go out and not last three innings every time he pitches, then yeah, it's no price is worth that for a starting pitcher. It's kind of a shame, because you usually see sometime around June, James Shields would kind of get rocked or roughed up a little bit, I guess, for maybe a couple starts, but always seemed to find his way back. But yeah, it just seems like he's starting to lose it, and don't want to see that.
Yeah, he's getting older. I believe he's 34 now, maybe he's losing some velocity. I don't know. I haven't seen a James Shields start this season, so I can't really say. But Chicago starting pitching, besides Chris Sale, is really struggling. Matt Latos, they actually designated him for assignment last week, and after his great start, he really struggled at the end here. So trying to figure something out.
Okay. I guess we did do the Stanley Cup Finals game.
We did.
And which, I don't remember who won that specific game, but the Penguins eventually won the Cup. So that was pretty neat.
Yeah, we went with Game 5. Pittsburgh at the time was up 3-1. That was last Thursday. They were in Pittsburgh. We both went Penguins. The Sharks actually prolonged the series one game longer. Came away with the 4-2 victory, but they end up losing Game 6, and the Pittsburgh Penguins were holding the Stanley Cup. So, yeah, congrats to the Penguins.
Two titles for Sidney Crosby, so now he kind of, I guess, cements himself as an all-time great, maybe? Yeah, is that fair to say?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, he's not the goal scorer that people probably wanted him to be. I don't know, fans, but he doesn't. That's not really his game. He can score goals. He's just a really good all-around player, and if not an all-time great, definitely one of the best and a future Hall of Famer.
All right. Well, yeah. Congratulations, Pittsburgh, for yet another title.
And weirdly, I don't think he's even 30 years old yet. So.
Oh no! Yeah, he's definitely got a ways to go. It was, yeah.
It seems like he's been there forever. I couldn't believe that he wasn't 30 yet, but.
Right. All right. Well, all right, I guess that brings us to Game 3.
Do you want to go over our upsets before we do that? And we can just kind of talk about the finals.
Yeah, what were they? Let's see.
My upset was the Phoenix Mercury were going to defeat the undefeated Minnesota Lynx. But that did not happen. The Lynx won 89-81. Taurasi for the Mercury had 12. Brittany Griner had 14. But Maya Moore had 21. And the Lynx are still undefeated. So that's about all I can tell you.
That's awesome.
Do you remember what yours was?
I do remember. I picked the Twins would beat the Marlins twice.
And they did it the first two games.
Nice.
Yep. Twins won 6-4 and 11 on Tuesday. Twins won 7-5 on Wednesday. The Marlins came back to win Thursday 10-3. So you didn't know that.
They got one.
They got one. So still playing all right, but Giancarlo's hitting 193. He needs to step it up, and if he does, this team could be in the playoffs. So.
Yeah, no, they've definitely played better than they have as of late.
Yeah, definitely. So, all right, well, that brings us to, like you're saying, the NBA Finals. seems way back. We get game three here. Golden State was up 2-0 at the time. I said the Warriors were going to go up 3-0. You, the Cavs, and the Cavs didn't let the Warriors even have a shot. Won that game 120-90. Just a blowout, and Golden State didn't show up for that one. As we know now, it is 3-2, as we have game six on Thursday night. Cleveland stayed alive in a game five performance for the ages from LeBron and Kyrie. Series is getting pretty interesting, don't you say?
Yeah, no, definitely. It's been kind of unexpected in a lot of ways. I mean, you've got, Steph and Clay kind of not doing a whole lot in those first two games. But the Warriors still winning easily. It definitely didn't look good. I figured, if Cleveland was going to have to at least win game three to get some respect. Because definitely LeBron haters would have definitely come out if they got swept. He came out and gave another LeBron game. Kyrie had 30 points. Kyrie's been really great these last three games. Just from a scoring standpoint, obviously, because that's what he's going to do. But, you also got Kevin Love, which
he did
had that concussion, missed the game. Yeah, right. Having missed the game, having a concussion, then you've had him come back in these last two games, but not really be much of a factor. It's kind of interesting how they've kind of gone about it, but Cleveland's at least in it.
Game six, they didn't really need anyone else to be a factor, Kyrie and LeBron. Kyrie, every shot he threw up, he thought was going in that night. He was absolutely on fire.
Yeah.
Kevin Love, he had 2 points and shot 1 for 5 in that game. He only got 5 shots. That just goes to show what kind of role LeBron and Kyrie were on. So can't really blame him for that. But, he's going to have to step up here when they go back to Cleveland if they want to force the game seven. And all cards on the table if that happens. So who knows? Who knows what could happen in a game seven? Anything's possible. So, you were saying Kyrie's been playing really well these last few games. Well, one person who hasn't been is Steph Curry. Besides game five, pretty much been non-existent in these finals, and I feel like we said that quite a bit in the playoffs here. What's your take on what's going on with him? Is he hurt? Is that an excuse? Or what do you
think?
I
feel like that question's been asked enough times that, I mean, you can't. Even if he is, he's still out there. He's still said over and over again that that's not what it is. But, yeah, I mean, it's – I don't know. I've been kind of thinking about it for a while, and I think that there's kind of a difference between being the best player in the league and being the best at what he does. If that makes sense. Like in any given game, like if his shot's on and he can shoot from anywhere, he's going to score everything and there's no way you can stop him. And there's just not even any shot. But if he's missing those shots, it doesn't seem like he's affecting the game in other ways enough to be a factor in how his team wins. I don't know. It's hard because you see LeBron doing everything every night, but it's not fair. LeBron's on. Is held to a different standard on everything. I wouldn't say he's hurt. I just think that, I don't know. It's tough to say.
You mentioned LeBron there. He's still able to get his, and most superstars are able to, when the playoffs come around. I kind of think maybe reason for that is because guys who are superstars are normally guys who are gifted athletically and big, and that is not Steph Curry. And I think that defenses have definitely paid a lot more attention to him. Series are longer, you get more recognition of the team you're playing, and I think all of that's a factor. I think maybe his knee is bothering him, because while he says he's not hurt, there are also reports out that he's going to have possible knee and shoulder surgery as soon as the playoffs are over. So that's kind of interesting as well. But I think that kind of, you can't really use that because everyone's banged up at this time. So I think he's just going to keep going out there doing what he does and keep shooting. All he needs is one game for him to explode, and the Warriors are going to be NBA champs for back-to-back years. And I think we could possibly see that in Game 6, but we'll have to see. The Cavs are playing really, really good lockdown defense on him. Their link's causing some problems, but he's also missing a lot of wide-open shots, which has been rare to see from the Warriors all season. They tend to do that quite a bit here in the playoffs. I just think that maybe they're worn down a little bit. Still a really good team, and no excuses. If Cleveland goes out there and beats them three straight times, they're going to have definitely earned everything that they've worked for.
Yeah, no, definitely. And that's interesting to think about. I mean, it definitely could just be, yeah, he's tired. He's worn down. He's not your typical freak athlete body. I mean, he's not, you know, small by any means, but yeah, he's not your typical athlete when it comes to that, I guess. So yeah, I mean, it's entirely possible, and that would make sense. But, and especially, yeah, compared to a guy like LeBron, who is literally built for what he does. So yeah.
Yeah,
but
yeah, and I'm not questioning Steph Curry's toughness at all. He can go to the hole, but he's not someone that can go to the hole anytime he wants. He'd probably end up getting hurt if he did that. That's not his game, and if he's not making shots, then he's not going to have a good game. And that's what it all comes down to, is him making shots, which is, I mean, obvious. We're talking about basketball, but that's
right.
I mean, there's no other way to explain it other than that is he just needs to knock down some shots and get his mojo going, because once he hits some shots, his confidence may be above anyone else's in the league when he starts seeing the ball go in the hoop. So we're going to definitely have to see him do that.
Yeah, and it also helps open up, I mean, Clay, even though Clay can get hot on his own, but if both of them are knocking down shots, yeah, they're not going to lose.
Yeah, Clay's been playing great all the playoffs, besides the first couple games here in this finals, which they both won, so it really doesn't matter. He's been awesome and really opened a few eyes, I think, on the level he can really get to. So hats off to Clay. He dropped 37 in that game. In that game five loss, so he's definitely been showing up. He wanted to end it that night, but the Warriors didn't have enough, and it's going to be interesting to see what they can do with no Andrew Bogut. I have to believe that they're going to go death lineup from the beginning, and that's what got the Cavs in game six on their home court last year. So let's see if history repeats itself.
Yeah, and they're going to have to do that, but of course, with Draymond Green back after his latest escapade in groin punching.
Yeah. Not much you can really say. I think the Warriors really missed him in game five. Kind of selfish act. I do think he tried to hold off. He didn't really come at LeBron. He knew that he couldn't get another foul. He tried to walk away, but it was too late. He already hit him with the uppercut low blow. Shades of some old WWE wrestling, Ric Flair. LeBron took exception to it and really got to his face. I think LeBron really pushed the buttons of Draymond because he knew if he could get in under his skin a little bit and get him to do something like that, I don't think he wanted to get hit in that region. But I think that he really wanted to kind of poke the bear and see if the bear would come back, and he did. And it was to the Cavaliers' advantage in Game 5, as we saw.
Yeah, no, yeah. Not, and, I mean, not only did he did he decide to react, but he got him suspended for the next game. I mean, yeah, when yeah, you mess with Bron, I guess he'll let you have it.
Yeah, and
but no, yeah. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's obviously you can tell it's intentional. I mean, with Steven Adams, you could say, okay, you know, he flings his arms around. Well, yeah, he's trying to draw that contact, and yeah, but that time he's getting upset with LeBron, and yeah, just took it too far again, and yeah, so yeah, he needed to sit out a game. I'm kind of glad it happened.
I'm not. When it comes down to this time, I like to see everyone at full strength. And I think that maybe you should suspend him for 4 or 5 games opening next year instead of 1 at this time. I really like to see both teams at full strength, whether that's injury suspensions. But, you know, at the same time, you can't really argue it because Draymond kind of did it to himself. I mean, if you're going to break the rules, then you have to suffer the consequences. But as a fan and everything else, I want to see both teams throwing their best out there that they can. And the Warriors
right.
weren't able
and
to do that in Game 5.
And I understand that, but I'm saying if you don't – and, yeah, no, suspending him for how – if you suspend him for 10, 15 games at the beginning of next season, that's still not going to be – punishment enough as missing a finals game. If he needs to realize he can't do that, that's not it's just something he can't do, because if he lands and something, God forbid, something, you know, actual terrible happens and LeBron James is out of the game, then the ratings are shot and all your competition's completely shot. So I mean, if anything, this just supports the whole NBA is fixed conspiracy, because, yeah, this, you allow this to happen and it allows Cleveland to win Game 5, quote unquote. And if they pull this off, then it's got to be true, right?
So you think the NBA is trying to send a message for at this time because suspend him next year?
I think it's a win-win.
Not punishment enough.
No, I think it's a win-win. I think it's controversy to get people talking about the finals, to get people to watch the finals, and not only that is it takes away from the Warriors and lets the Cavs win another game, so they can at least get a game 6 out of it. So the NBA gets another game, another night of ratings. I mean, that's kind of the conspiracy logic behind it. But
well, hey, you may be right, because Game 5 had the highest ratings of any game in the series, so yes.
There you go.
But, all right, well, we'll have to see if he stops. I don't think he's going to stop. I think that's how he plays the game. Probably won't be the first time we see Draymond Green suspended. So,
I'm thinking him and LeBron get into it at least one more time.
Can't be Game 6, though. He can't. He can't put himself in position.
Oh, no, yeah. He's gonna try his hardest not to be the instigator, but LeBron's going to try his hardest to make sure he is.
I don't think it's going to be LeBron. I got 2 words, Matthew Dellavedova. That's going to be his job in Game 6, is to try and get under Draymond's skin and try and get him over the edge a little bit. I think there's going to be kind of a little side game going on here in Game 6. But the Cavs can't be too focused on that. They have to be mainly focused on the game, of course. So,
right.
Yeah, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Well, all right.
Well,
that wraps up our hot news for last week. I finished 2-3. Didn't get my upset. You were 3-2. So you have a one game overall lead. You're 11-9. I'm 10-10, and you're 2-2 on your upsets. I'm 1-3. So I'm gonna have to get you back this week. Except for we have no upsets this week, which we'll talk about.
Okay, I have one just in case, but because I wasn't sure if you really meant all four of the games for Copa
I did.
America.
I did.
Cool.
So. All right. Well, did you have anything else about the finals you wanted to talk about?
I mean, nothing specifically interesting. J.R. Smith hasn't been terrible. Richard Jefferson has been okay, I guess.
Yeah.
All
right.
That's about all I got.
All right. Well, I'm pretty excited for tomorrow night, so it should be fun. See if we're gonna have Game 7 or if the Golden State Warriors will be hosting another trophy. Hosting.
No,
I don't know why they would
definitely be fun.
All right. Well, I know we didn't have too much here to talk about, but I guess kind of want to talk about a little baseball here. There's a couple things want to talk about. First thing's the Royals, because if we talk baseball, we can't not talk about the Royals. Actually got done sweeping the Cleveland Indians tonight, a team that they've really struggled against all season, to put them back in the tie for first place with said Indians. And they're kind of on a roll, even with their injuries. Whit Merrifield has been ridiculous. Actually hit his first two home runs of his career in the first two games against the Indians in this series. And Sal Perez has had a couple big home runs the last two nights. And Royals seem to be finding a groove now. But AL Central's going to be tough all year. What do you think? Do you think that they need anything before the trade deadline, or upgrade anything if they can?
Well, I mean, as far as them looking to get back on track, I mean, they started playing at home again. That seems to be what this team always needs. They're playing a lot better at home. I can't remember. I think they're 22-7 at home, something like that.
22-7. Yeah, best record.
Yeah.
In baseball.
Yeah, but their road record is not anywhere close as good. They should probably, hopefully they could start playing a little bit better on the road. But I mean, yeah, definitely keep winning at the K. As far as the second half of the season, trades or anything, I don't know. They really need to hope that Whit Merrifield doesn't fall back to earth and that he's going to be the real deal. Because if he is, then they've obviously got an everyday second baseman if they want him when Alex Gordon comes back. You got to figure out if you're going to go with Chesler, Cuthbert, and Christian Colon at third. You're probably going to want to look for an upgrade there just in case. They could always use another bat, especially with Kendrick Morales continuing to struggle.
So, you think they should go after a bat rather than a starting pitcher?
It depends on the starting pitcher. I feel like they feel confident with, or they're gonna by the time it rolls around, they're gonna have 3 to 4 guys that they feel confident with, and then, I mean, that's all you're really gonna want. And that's really what they've done in the playoffs these last couple of years, is just found 3 guys that they were like, okay, we're going to ride with these 3 guys, and then just kind of figure out the fourth man. That's thinking as far as the playoffs. But, yeah, no, I think the starting pitching is going to even out a little bit. Jordan Aventura is a whole other thing that we could get into, but if he can get his head on straight and just be the level of consistency he was at last year after his whole fiasco getting called down and right back up, then I think they could be all right.
Yeah, I was going to mention Giordano. Maybe it just took a punch in the face from Manny Machado, because And in his last start, he went 7 innings, allowed only one, and struck out 10. Definitely, by far his best start this season. So he
right.
needs
and
to
I mean,
keep that
and
up.
I'm not. And yeah, and I mean, I'm not going to say Manny Machado was 100% in the right for doing what he did. I mean, yeah, Yordano shouldn't have been throwing at him, and Manny Machado hasn't been perfect himself in the past. But no, yeah, at a certain point, you can't want to get revenge on every single person who you take any take the tiniest slight against or whatever. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, at some point, you just got to show up and be a major league pitcher and record outs.
Yeah.
Stop making everything a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. He definitely needs to cool down a little bit when it comes to that and just pitch his game, because when he pitches his game, he really is one of the better pitchers in all of baseball. He just needs to find that consistency.
Yeah, and this, just this, yeah, because I saw it, yeah, the whole Machado thing and giving up all those runs to the Orioles. I saw the same thing against the Athletics with the whole Brett Laurie thing. I mean, yeah, he was a little justified with that, but it's becoming a pattern, and that's not something you want.
Yeah, definitely not. And the Royals also seem to have a lot of confidence in Whit Merrifield, because – they actually designated Omar Infante for assignment today.
That's actually why I wasn't able to go over with you a little more. I was actually texting my sister, explaining to her that whole thing. She just did not seem to get it why he wasn't going to play for them anymore and why they still had to pay him. So I was texting her, and that's where I must have missed your text.
Yeah, no big deal. But yeah, he time with the Royals has ended. Not the best 3 or 4 years, but hey, he filled in the second base hole. So
yeah, no, I mean, we're talking about a team that was playing Chris Getz and Elliot Johnson at second base at times, and yeah, no, he definitely. For 2014 and part of 2015, when he was healthy, was a solid glove and at times a timely bat. I mean, he didn't bat well, but he seemed to come up with a big hit every now and again. Even hit a home run in the 2014 World Series. It was a risk to give him that fourth year, but they needed stability. And a veteran at second base at the time. And I think, yeah, I think it was worth it. They got what they needed.
Yeah, most definitely. So I hope he finds somewhere else to play. But if not, glad Infante was able to provide what he did for the Royals, even if it wasn't up to the best standards from a lot of fans, so.
Yeah. But hashtag vote Omar, so, yeah.
Yeah, still top five, second baseman.
We can still get him in
AL,
there.
But,
let's
yeah,
send him off. Right.
All right, well, I guess the other big baseball news is, of course, Ichiro passing
yeah.
all-time hit record tonight. With Pete Rose, of course, many of those hits, a little over 1,200 of those came from
1,278.
Yes. yeah, came from Japan. What do you think? Rose kind of came out and said some things about that and didn't really think he deserved the recognition that he's getting as being the hit king. I don't think he's going to be the hit king. I think that's still Pete Rose, but still a great accomplishment from a guy who's been around for many years and still getting it done.
I mean, yeah, by the definition of the record, Pete Rose is going to continue to hold the record. I mean, as cool as it would be to see Ichiro get another, whatever, 1,300 hits or whatever it is. I mean, it's just probably not going to happen. He's probably going to retire before that.
Well, I mean, he's like 43.
No, yeah. but no, I mean, I think Ichiro is a very strong argument for being the best hitter of all time. I mean, he has amassed his 4,257 hits, professional hits, in about 1,500 less plate appearances than Pete Rose. That I think that kind of says something. Still you can say lesser competition, but I mean it's still the best of a league. But even when he got into the major leagues, he still dominated. He was probably the best hitter in the league from almost day one. I mean, he ended up with 10 straight 200-hit seasons, had 262 hits, which, of course, is the record in a season in 2004. I mean, I don't see how you can't put him up there. It's been crazy, and it's even been crazier to think about that I actually got to see him play.
Yeah, definitely a great career. And definitely has an argument, in my opinion, as the greatest hitter of all time. Like you said, he did it in so many less plate appearances than Pete Rose. While the competition isn't to the level of baseball, the MLB maybe, it is the second best league in the world, and many people say it's between AAA and the majors. So, I mean, that's about the best you can get without actually playing in the MLB. And, I mean, if he was here his whole career, I think we would be seeing him actually surpassing Pete Rose in the all-time hit list, which would be something to just be remarkable, because that's one of those records that you probably don't think is going to be broken in your lifetime. And Ichiro is now just 21 hits away from 3,000 in his major league career. So hats off to him and a great career.
Yeah, no, I can't wait for him to get 3,000. It's going to be, obviously a big number. He's, headed to the Hall of Fame anyway, but he definitely deserves it. It's been awesome to see him play.
Yeah, and he can continue coming up with timely hits for the Marlins. So,
right.
keep doing it at his age. So, but all the baseball stuff I had talked about. Did you want to talk about anything? You want to get into our hot tweets?
I just have one little tiny little thing that I would like you to comment on. Apparently, Carson Wentz was locked in a bathroom in New Jersey earlier today. I just want to know your feelings on that.
I did not know that. But
I guess it was some sort of hazing thing.
Well,
The attendants had to come, like, cut him out with, like, some bolt cutters or something. I don't remember exactly what it was, but there's a tweet. I'll have to just send it to you.
All right. Well, good luck. I don't know.
Well, he got out. So, I mean, he's apparently safe.
Hopefully
no one
left him.
That was kind of interesting. Right.
All right. Well,
okay. Moving on.
All right. So, ridiculously hot tweets time here. I know you said you had a couple here, but do you just want to read one, do our hot picks, and then end the show? We can kind of just do the rest.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, yeah, it's all you.
All right. My hot tweet was from a guy named Master Test Fatsian. I don't know. At Mass Test, this was on June 13th. Two sources tell him and another guy that former NBA point guard Nate Robinson is currently trying out for the Seahawks. I thought that was pretty interesting. Nate Robinson hasn't been around the NBA for about a season now. Still trying to find his way in the athletic world. Of course, played football at Washington.
Pete Carroll actually.
Don't think he really has a chance, but.
Right. No, he doesn't actually. Pete Carroll actually, after the tryout in his press conference, said that it's going to be almost impossible for him to have a make a career in football. But yeah, no, he had, you know, a bunch of nice stuff to say, but he's just like, yeah, no, it's just probably not going to happen. Just probably too late for that. So, I mean, you know, definitely, yeah, definitely got to try it, I guess. You think he can. But yeah, hopefully he finds something to do. Maybe he can go play Arena League.
Hey, there's the thought.
Yeah.
He probably.
All right. I don't remember who tweeted it. It was somebody linking to a story about this quarterback, Tate Martell. I guess he committed to Ohio State, some high school kid. Anyway, the quote was about somebody talking about him, and it said, if you could clone Fran Tarkenton and Brett Favre, you would have Tate Martell. And that just doesn't make sense to me, because if you cloned Fran Tarkenton and Brett Favre, wouldn't you just have another Fran Tarkenton and another Brett Favre and not one completely new person?
Yes, you would. You would.
Yeah. So.
I don't get it. Double the arm strength, double the interceptions. I don't know.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no. Yeah, that's. Mm-hmm. He's apparently an old-time gunslinger.
All right. Well, is that Buckeye fans?
One more joke. They better check this kid's phone. Make sure he's not sending any pictures to anybody. If he's Brett Favre reincarnate.
No one on the on the staff there. So.
Right.
All right.
Okay. Let's pick some games.
All right. Let's get into some hot picks. We're going to be doing the whole quarterfinals, the Copa America here. First game is the USA versus Ecuador Thursday night at 8:30. Top scorer for USA is Clint Dempsey. Two goals, two assists in three games. And Ecuador is led by Enner Valencia, who has two goals and two assists in three games. Who you like?
Go America.
Yeah, I figured it'd just be wrong to go against America, so go USA.
Yeah, they could probably deport us for that.
Yeah, probably. All right. Well, next up, we have Peru and Colombia. That's Friday night at 7. Peru's led by Paolo Guerrero, has one goal, two assists in three games. And Colombia's led by James Rodriguez, who has two goals and one assist in three games. Who you liking that one?
Give me Colombia.
All right. I am also taking Colombia because I'm a big James Rodriguez fan. So.
All right.
All right.
Next up is Argentina and Venezuela. Who you got?
All right. Of course, Argentina led by Messi, who has three goals in two games. And Venezuela led by Salomon Rondon, who has one goal in three games. I definitely think that Argentina's the best squad, has the best player. Give me Argentina. The winner of this will take on the winner of the USA game. So, USA match.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Argentina would be my pick. And then last up, we got good old Mexico and Chile.
All right. That follows
greatest cheer ever.
Venezuela at 9. I'm going Mexico.
Going Mexico? All right. Well, I guess I have to be different than you on one. Even I did pick it, though, because, you know, Chile, greatest cheer ever. Got to go Chile.
All right. All right, that brings us to our last hot pick, Golden State-Cleveland, Game 6. Is Cleveland keep it live, or is Golden State new champions?
Nope. Cleveland's going to win. We're going to Game 7.
All right, I disagree. Warriors are going to be hosting the trophy on Cleveland's home court once again.
All right, you ready for my hot take?
Yep.
Believeland.
That's
We're
it?
We're doing it.
Believeland.
They're doing it. Yep.
All right. My hot take is Steph Curry is going to hit 10 or more threes in Game 6.
Oh, man, that'd be rough.
Yeah, if you're a Cavs fan.
All right.